I have a sort of cute yet sad story that occurred in our vacation Bible school just a few weeks ago. We just had our vacation Bible school. I think Ridgewood's having theirs soon, or maybe your church has had it, and maybe you will have it, or maybe you don't have them. That's how our church started. It started with a vacation Bible school, 1957. I wasn't born yet, but almost. I've been having Bible schools ever since. A friend of my son from his preschool, dad brought them over. He's also he's a teacher too. And he was sitting with his little girl in our Bible school. And they don't really go to church or anything. And my son invited them and they came. We were excited. We had a lot of new boys and girls, which we were so happy. You know, it's nice to preach to the choir, but that gets old sometimes. Doesn't Sister Hofflander? Just preaching to the choir, that gets old after a while. I like to see some new faces, right? Well, all of a sudden, and the dad told me this later on, and while we were singing the songs and, you know, the scriptures and all kinds of things, we had a really exciting vacation Bible school. It was all based on roller coasters. And maybe when my son comes to church, they're hopefully, I don't think they're in bed yet, but they should be. But when you see him, he's very proud of his Bible. He won in vacation Bible school a roller coaster Bible. They have all kinds of Bibles out, don't they? They have the men's Bible, the study Bible, the life and the spirit Bible, the soldier's Bible, the firefighter's Bible, the policeman's Bible, Bible for women, Bible for grandmas, Bible for everybody. But did you know there's a roller coaster Bible? Well, you just look at my son's Bible and you'll see what a honest to goodness roller coaster Bible looks like. Well, as this was all going on, my son's friend, Michael, his little sister, all of a sudden she turned to her dad and she said, "Dad, they keep saying Jesus Christ." I'll just let you think about that for a minute. I don't know if you get it. The only way she knew that name was as a curse. Isn't that sad? Isn't that sad? And he had to look at her and say, "No, honey, it's actually a good thing. It's actually a good thing." It's a shame that people don't know the name of Jesus like we do. As we were singing that song, "Jesus, oh how sweet the name," I couldn't help but think of my mom. A lot of you here don't know her. Some remember. I won't call you old timers, but some remember her. She loved the name of Jesus. I have so many fond memories of her regarding the name of Jesus. Two very quickly that come to mind was one night my brother and I shared rooms when we were little. We shared a room. My brother was sick. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and I could hear him whimpering a little bit. And my brother's a big, tough construction worker, but not when he's sick. Not when he's sick. But I remember it plain as day. I can still see it. You know, you have those memories that you close your eyes, or maybe you don't even have to close your eyes and you can still see it or you can hear it. And there was my mom sitting on his bed, on the edge of his bed. It was dark in the room, just the street light outside from across in the firehouse was illuminating our room just a little bit. And there she was sitting there, just sort of stroking his forehead. You know what I heard her saying? You already know. You know, don't you? I didn't have to tell you. Jesus. Jesus. The other memory that is very clear in my mind was driving home with her. My mom, in our church, Keensburg, our church began from the Emmanuel Pentecostal Church in Elizabeth, which is another church that some of the older timers would remember. But we were coming home one day. She used to help out still up there in what they called the youth meeting on a Tuesday afternoon. And we were driving down the New Jersey Turnpike in a snowstorm. In a snowstorm. Today, some of my folks who live maybe a block and a half away won't come out in the snow. But my mom drove up from Keensburg, from the Jersey Shore to Elizabeth with her son in the car in a snowstorm. Maybe not the brightest thing in the world, but she was dedicated. If she was nothing else, she was zealous, wasn't she, those of you who knew her? But coming home down the turnpike, coming up on exit 11, if any of you know, it's a big exit, Jersey Shore, this way. It still exists, the Jersey Shore. They're restoring the shore, at least so they tell me. But anyway, as we were driving, all of a sudden in front of us, I was a little boy, and one of those memories I can still see, here came a car right across the turnpike in front of us. And of course, in those days, seatbelt wear was not mandatory. Now, I can't remember if I had a seatbelt on or not, but I had a seatbelt. You know who it was? It was Mom. Because as she was driving, all of a sudden, you know what happened with the arm, don't you? Bang! Right across. I remember it. Bang! Across the chest. And the next thing I heard was not Jesus. Jesus. It was Jesus! It was a cry for help. It was one of those cries that she didn't have to think about it. She said, now let's see, now what good holy words can I call upon so that our blessed Savior will protect us from imminent doom? No, she just called out to the one who she knew could help. And that car just kept going right on by into the guardrail, and we kept on going right on by. She loved the name of Jesus. Do you love the name of Jesus? Do you love it? Are you familiar with it? Do you use it? I thought tonight as we were sitting here for a minute, don't worry, I want to tell you, you'll find this out quickly. When there's time, it's not because we don't know what to do next. Or don't have something to say, okay? Sometimes it's good to just take a minute. Instead of hearing my mouth yapping or somebody else's, it's just you. I thought to myself, I almost said it out loud, but I didn't want to disturb those who were really just thinking about the Lord and enjoying His presence. You know, if we just sat here for a couple of minutes and just simply breathed the name of Jesus, there's nothing magical about it. It's not a mantra like they have in Hinduism. It's not like sitting here and saying, Om. But it's the one that name represents. Jesus. Jesus. I tell you, if you've never done it, before you leave camp, you have to do it right now. Before you leave camp, get by yourself, just 5 minutes. Just whisper that name. Breathe that name in prayer, in faith. There were some people in the Bible that yelled that name. Blind Bartimaeus. Jesus! Jesus! Why was he yelling? Was he nuts? No, he was blind. That was his problem. And he knew he had a problem. And they told him, shut up. It's church. It's God's son. You're supposed to be reverent. Shh. Jesus! And you know what happened? You know what happened? Jesus said, who's that guy? Oh, that's blind Bartimaeus. Bring that guy over here. This is actually one of my texts for tonight. Just giving you a sneak preview. And you know what happened? A couple of those disciples walked over, and here he was saying, Jesus! Jesus! They came and they touched him. Now, if you're blind and somebody all of a sudden touches you, how would you react to that? What? Like, relax. Jesus has called for you. Jesus has asked for you by name. He's calling for you. Come here. Come. He wants you. And you know what happened? Jesus said to him, what do you want? Do you quote the old King James? That I may receive my sight. I want to see. Jesus touched him and his eyes were opened. Why? Because he called on Jesus. I've often wondered, if he hadn't done that, would Jesus have called him? I like what ifs sometimes. They're intriguing. You know, they're just intriguing to think about. If he hadn't called Jesus, would Jesus have called him and touched him? I think Bartimaeus was probably the inspiration for pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. And Jesus didn't pass him by, did he? Did he? Maybe. If you'll take a little time and just call on the name of Jesus, perhaps you'll hear him say, you, I'm calling you. You think you're calling me? Like good Brooklyn, you calling me? Right, Brother Tom, you heard of probably a few of those in your time, huh? You calling me? You call? No, I'm calling for you. I'm calling for you. And see what he'll do. See what he'll do. He never ignores when people cry for him. When people call him, he never does. And he won't for you either. I know you think he might. I know you think he might. But he won't. He won't. That's not my promise. That's his promise. That's his promise. I have two sheets I want to give you. Whether you're going to be with us all week or whether you're going home tomorrow, that's okay. You can take it with you and do with it what you will. I'm going to ask two of my good friends here, whose names I will learn, to give everybody. You give everybody one of those. Everybody one of those. Go ahead. Go. I know it's church. Go. Do we get up now? Giving you two sheets of paper. One is, if you would like to write some notes, these are the names of God that we're going to be looking at together. We're going to take, I very often will do something in the morning and then something different at night, but there's so many. I chose 13 or so that I think we're going to be able to get them all in. I may even stick one in the prayer meeting if you're not careful. So you might want to come to the prayer meeting. You never know. You never know what's going to happen. The Lord might actually show up. Wouldn't that be something, huh? I say that very facetiously. The other are words to a couple of songs that I'd like to show you that are one written by Michael Card, El Shaddai, which of course is a beautiful song about some of the Hebrew names of Jesus, God. The other, as I was looking at this, I was thinking so hard and praying about what to share with you this week, and the Lord just kind of guided my steps to something. I was, believe it or not, I was cleaning out my attic, something I had done many, many years ago, and my folks in church so often refer to it. How do? We have enough? Good. If not, we'll get Sister Elsa to make us a few more, but good, excellent. I know we'll have some more folks showing up. The Lord just brought some things across my path. I said, you know what, we're going to look at the names of God. And as I was reading it, and you guys didn't forget yourself, did you? No? Good. Okay. That the other song, He Knows My Name, came to mind. Every time I would look at some of these things, and we're going to talk about that tonight, that kept coming to me. And then, thirdly, and I hate to keep bringing up my mom, but she just fits in here so much, and so many folks up here know her and love her. I'm here because of them. When they got promoted to higher service, this week was open, and so they asked me to come. That's the only reason. I'm here because of them. But this song we actually sang at her funeral, Jesus, Your Name. She loved that song, and we're gonna sing that one day too. I'm gonna introduce you to some of these songs, and if you listen in the morning after the trumpet plays, maybe the trumpets will play us some songs about the name of Jesus after Holiness Unto the Lord. But anyway, if you listen to the speaker, you're gonna hear a few of these songs in the morning. So pay attention while you're brushing your teeth and washing the sleep out of your eyes, and you never know what you're going to hear. If you look, there's 13 names that are there. The front page starts with Elohim, and it goes to the last one that we're going to have together, and that is God's favorite name. You're going to have to wait to find out what that is. But you'll notice there's a little blank under there. Does everybody see it? There's a little blank square at the bottom. This is for you to write something in. And it's actually what we're going to talk about tonight for just a few minutes, because I know we want to pray. But I think this will encourage us as we go to prayer. And this is sort of the punchline to this whole study. I'm going to give you the end. How do you like that? We'll start with the end. Is that okay? That doesn't confuse anybody or make you nervous. Okay? In that square, this is not necessarily a name for God, but here's what I want you to write. He knows, capital H, He knows my name. Write it. If you have a pen, if you don't, that's okay. Remember it. It's the title of that second song, so you can cheat. He knows my name. Now, that may not be a big deal to you right now. That might just seem like, yeah, okay, whatever. Yeah, God knows everything. Okay, that's cool. I know that. I learned that in primaries. I've known that forever. God knows everybody's name. Okay? But I think, by the time we get to the end of this study and we look at these names of God and we see His character, His qualities, what He does, how He operates, how He thinks, how he interacts with humanity and his creation, I think then when you come back to that square and you can say to yourself, he, Elohim, the Lord our righteousness, the Lord my banner, the Lord who is my shepherd, the Lord who is there, Yahweh, the everlasting I am. Whoa. He knows me. He knows my name. And I'll tell you, when you think that God knows your name, out of the nearly 7 billion people, can you wrap your mind around that number? Almost 7 billion people on earth, he knows your name. He knows your name. He knows your name. Grab your Bibles for a minute. I want to show you a couple of things tonight. In the book of Exodus, I'll be honest with you, we could actually do this one the whole week. The whole week. There's so much in the Bible about God knowing our name, knowing your name. But I just want to point out a couple of highlights to you. In the book of Exodus, the 33rd chapter, come on, turn to it with me. Doesn't matter what version of the Bible you have, that's okay. Even if it's digital. It's so funny in my church now to see, as I tell the folks, all right, now everybody take out your Bible. I see Nooks and iPads and iPhones and what do you got, Samsung?
Nokia.
Oh, Nokia. Sorry. Is that the James Bond one? My cousins, they always have like the coolest phones. I'm boring. I only have the iPhone. But if you look in Exodus, I actually wrote 33, but I don't want 33. I want Exodus 3. Exodus 3. I'll make you turn back. That's okay. It's good. Break your Bibles in a little bit. In Exodus 3, look at verse 4. You're familiar with the story of the burning bush? Familiar with that story? Are you really? Are you really familiar with it?
Yes.
Moses is walking by this bush that doesn't burn, and God starts yelling to him, "Hey, Moses! Moses!" Right? Right? All of you who are nodding your head like this, go like this. Because that's not how it worked. Go back and read that story, because you know what happened? Moses was leading his sheep like he had always done for nearly 40 years. You ever do something the same day for 40 years? So you didn't lead sheep just one day, right? You didn't get Sunday off. You didn't get a day off when you were leading sheep, right? You did the same thing year after year after year after year after year. You know what happens when you do that? That gets to be old hat after a while, doesn't it? You start to get used to it. You start to fall into a rut. You start to just do the same old, same old. A lot of us do that. Maybe you guys are too young. Maybe you haven't done that yet. But I tell you, as you get older, you start to develop habits. You know, you get these patterns of doing things. And, you know, if something breaks that pattern, you're not really always particularly thrilled about it. Well, Moses is leading his sheep, and all of a sudden, it says there that as he was leading the sheep, that he saw this bush. He saw a bush look at it, verse 2. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So now, this is important. I know you read this story 100 times, but you maybe never really looked at it. It said, so he looked. What did Moses have to do? What did he have to do? He had to look. Not a trick question, right? He had to look. There was the angel of the Lord. Notice that's a capital A. What does that suggest about this story to you? About this angel? Could have been Jesus. Fact of the matter is, it suggests very strongly that this wasn't Gabriel, it wasn't Michael, it wasn't one of those lesser seraphim or cherubim, as powerful as they may be. This was God. This was a visible form of God, a messenger, God himself. Many believe, and I believe wholeheartedly, that it was Jesus, the second person of the Trinity appearing to Moses there. And that's a whole nother study. Maybe next year we'll do that one if they invite me back, unless I get myself kicked out one of these years. But notice what happened. He had to look and behold. You know, that word, I know we're used to hearing that. We think that's one of those holy words that they just stick in the Bible just because it sounds good. Behold! Doesn't that sound good? Doesn't that sound holy? Doesn't that really just, right? No, you know what that means? That means Moses really beheld. You know what the, that's, there's two words. That's a compound word, right? Remember that from eighth grade English? He beheld. What's the root word of beheld? Held. To hold. It means that Moses actually looked at this thing. He actually looked at it. He paid attention to it. You know, sometimes I've chaperoned trips with eighth graders to museums. I'm telling you, eighth graders can see the entire Metropolitan Museum of whichever one you want to go to, modern art, history, whatever. They can do it in 15 minutes and be done. 15 minutes. What are you guys doing back? Oh, we're done. You saw everything? We take our kids to Washington for 3 days. Second day, they go to the Smithsonian. Anybody here ever been to the Smithsonian? Smithsonian Institute? You know how much stuff is there? Did you know I've had kids that have seen the entire Smithsonian before lunch? It's lunchtime. How you guys doing? Oh, good, we're done. You saw it all? Yep. Everything? Yeah. American history? Sure. Natural history? Yep. The space place? Yep. Saw it all. Well, you know how they saw it, right? Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, good. Oh, this is what it looks like. Terrific. Check that one off. Anybody want to buy a t-shirt? Buy it quick because we're moving on. That's not what Moses did. Moses actually, and this is kind of important, he stopped and he paid attention to what he was seeing. That's what those words that we read so quick, that's what they mean. He actually paid attention to what was going on there. And then he recognized that something was going on. That's when he realized that this bush was on fire, but it was not being consumed. Moses could have just blown right on by. That's the way we live our lives a lot. Me too. I have a crazy busy life, just like you. He could have just blown right on by. Oh, yeah, so something really weird out there. I don't know, some bush was on fire. Could have, you know, told his wife and, you know, I don't know. Yeah, something was weird was going on. I don't know, whatever. Right? That's the way, that's kind of the today. You know, whatever. Right? Oh, yeah, I was driving up the thruway today. Some car was flipped over facing backwards. Yeah, whatever. No, but he paid attention. And he realized there was something different going on here. And as he paid attention, notice, look at verse 4. Have you ever had God speak to you? Has he ever called you by name? If not, maybe this is why. Look at verse 4. So when the Lord saw, now look at this carefully. I have this underlined in my Bible. People in my church, I have some people who love to write notes in their Bible and others who will not lay a pen to that holy page. They write in their notebooks. But I have it underlined. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look. Do you catch that? Did you catch that? When the Lord saw that he was interested. Interested enough to check this thing out. Then God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, hey, you.
No.
You're catching my, you got me, sister. You got it. He didn't say, hey, you, did he?
No.
I do that because I see who's paying attention, right? No. He said the sweetest thing Moses ever heard. Moses. And did Moses receive a revelation of God? He got a revelation of God unlike any in all of Scripture, I would dare say. You realize what the Bible says about Moses? That he talked to God face to face, like a man speaks to his friend. By the way, do you know what that face to face means? Anybody really know what that means? Somebody here might, but I bet you don't. You know what it literally means in the Hebrew? Cheek to cheek. Cheek to cheek. If my little son was here, I would demonstrate for you. But you know what that means? Cheek to cheek. That's how God talked to Moses. That's how Moses talked to God. Because Moses was interested, God called him. And how did he call him? He called him by his name. You see, you gotta be interested. You have to be interested. People say, I don't hear God speak. God doesn't speak anymore. Yes, he does. He is always speaking. It is one of God's great characteristics. God created by speaking. God continues to speak. And today, as we read in Hebrews, he spoke in creation. He spoke through the prophets. And now, how does he speak to us? By his own dear son. He continues to speak. But the reason we don't hear him speak, the reason you don't hear him call your name, is not that he doesn't know your name. He knows your name. He knows your name. He's calling you by name. The question is, am I interested? Am I really, genuinely interested in hearing the voice of God? Do you realize a lot of people are not interested? They're not interested. They don't want to hear the voice of God. You recognize that when God showed up on Sinai and called Moses, and he actually, if you really read, there's another one of those stories. If you really read it, you realize that God wanted to speak to all of Israel. He wanted to speak to the entire nation. He wanted them all to be a kingdom of priests. He didn't want just Aaron and his gang to be the priests for everybody else. He wanted them all. The reason he didn't was because they weren't interested. They weren't interested. What did they say? No, Moses, you go. You go. We're scared. We're scared. We don't want to see God. We don't want to see God. But you know what we realized later on? That was just a charade. Oh, it was terrifying. I'll grant you that. I'll tell you one. If little brother, first brother, even though it's the littlest one, that baby started shaking and there was lightning and thunder and all kind of action going out there, I think we'd all be a little nervous. But you know what we really find out? It took so little time for their hearts to be revealed. They weren't interested. They would rather have this cow made out of gold that Aaron just somehow took these earrings and threw them in the fire and out it popped. There's our God. That's who we want to hear. That's what we want to listen to. They weren't interested in the voice of God. God was speaking. He was speaking. He was speaking. You know, in our Bible study, we're studying the prophets. We're going through all of the prophets. And do you know, do you realize when God called Isaiah, when God called Jeremiah, when God called Hosea, when he called these different ones to speak for him, do you know what God actually said to them? Now listen to this, those of you who are thinking about serving the Lord, maybe being a missionary, being a pastor, or whatever it may be. You know what God said to them? Listen, I've called you by your name. I called you by your name. I know you. I want you to speak for me. I want you to share my message with these people. And guess what? They're not going to listen. What would your response to that be? Well, if they're not going to listen, why bother? Why bother? You know what God said? Go anyway. Go anyway. I have a message for them. And whether they will listen or whether they will not, we're gonna deliver it. You're gonna deliver this message for me. Some will listen. Most will not. And that is the secret of hearing God call your name. You've got to be interested. You've got to want to hear what he's going to say to you. If you are, If you are, he will speak. He does speak. He is going to speak to you by your name because he knows it. There are so many verses in here. Jesus, when he comes on the scene, when he comes in the fullness of time, who was born of a woman under the curse, under the law, to deliver us from the curse, like we heard, to die in our place. You know what how he described himself? He said, I'm the good shepherd. I'm the good shepherd. And guess what? I know my sheep. I know them. I know every single one. Every single one by name. And my sheep know my voice. Do you know how the sheep in those days knew the voice of the shepherd? There are two ways. First of all, they used to hear his voice all the time. They heard his voice all the time. He would speak to them constantly, so they got used to the tenor of his voice. You know, there are people, you can hear their voice. You know who it is immediately. You don't even have to see them. You know it's them. But you know what was the second way they knew his voice? Because he called them by name. He would call his sheep by name. And they would follow. Oh, he knows my name. Yes, I know that voice. It's time to go. It's time to go eat breakfast. It's time to go get something to drink. It's time to go lie down in still pastures. It's time to go. Our shepherd is calling. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I know their names. I call them by name. And they follow me. And then there's one more that I want to show you tonight. As I said, we could be here for a week doing this. But I want you to turn with me to the book of Revelation. Now, I'm going to tell you what the seven seals mean. No, I'm just kidding. Revelation 3. This is something. Now, I don't know about your Bible, but in my Bible, I have little subheadings that the publisher puts in, the translators, and of course it's not Holy Scripture, but however, this letter to the church in Sardis, my Bible calls this the dead church. And I think that's pretty straightforward, because in verse 1, the Lord says, I know your works, that you have a name. You're a church, sure, you got church after your, you know, whatever it may be, church. You think you're alive, but you're really dead. You're dead. But look what it says. That's not even what I'm interested in. For us this evening, I want you to look at verse 5. Every one of these letters to the churches had followed the same pattern, and every single one of them says something like this. He who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. I will not blot out his, say it, his name. Now, I know you might have a little different translation, but I'll bet you pretty much every translation has that word, his name, from the book of life. But now look what it says. And again, your translation may read just a little bit differently than I have the New King James here. It says, but this is Jesus speaking. Understand this. This is Jesus speaking, the eternal God, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the one who holds the keys of hell and of death. He's in charge of it all. And what does he say? Look at this. I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Now, I don't know about you, but I think my mom would have been jumping up and down right now as she talked about this. For those of you who know my mom, I'm not quite that excitable. I have a little bit of my dad in me. But let's look at this. Those of you who know your Bibles, there are two places where Jesus is described being right now, besides in us by the Holy Spirit. Does anybody know where those two places are, where he is described? They're both in heaven. Does anybody know where they are? Okay, you're giving us the actual spots. Brother Tom's giving us the references, and that's excellent. But where is he described as being? At the right hand of the Father. And then he is also described as being before the Father, making intercession for us. Now here's where this brings us, I think, so beautifully into our time of prayer this evening. Jesus is before. Now, this is, I know it's a little hard to wrap your mind around, but he's everywhere, isn't he? He's everywhere. He's omnipresent. He is God. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, the place of authority, the place of control, where he and his Father, through the Holy Spirit, just rule over everything. Do you realize that God's in charge? He really is. This whole messy earth, as screwed up as it is, he's in charge. He really is. And he's going to take care of this whole thing, and he is. But at the same time, he is also before the throne. And he is making intercession for us. You know what that means? He's praying for us. Even as we are praying to him, we are praying together with him. That's why sometimes I have some very dear Catholic friends. And so often they'll say, oh, I couldn't find something and I prayed to, I don't know, St. Anthony or St., I don't know, Gilliam. There's a whole bunch of them, all these. There's like a saint for everything. It's kind of interesting, but that's okay. That's all right. But I often will say to them, yeah, I hear you. I go right to the top. So I go right to the top. As we pray, Jesus is praying those prayers along with us, and he is adding his prayers. But now, wait a minute, there's one more little element for tonight that is, I think, spectacular. As he is doing this, what does Jesus himself say? I will confess his name, her name, before my Father and before all of his angels. Now listen, hear this. If you don't get one thing out of this tonight, get this, because I think it will change the way you pray. It'll change the way I pray. When I pray, I'm telling you, I've been in some prayer meetings where we got together and our folks were tired. It was a long day. And it was just kind of like a snooze fest. It really was. And I'm not trying to pump you up to pray tonight, okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not just trying to pump you up here. I'm trying to show you something that can really change the way you think about prayer forever. Not just because me, but because of this. This is where it says it. And as you pray, those prayers ascend up into heaven, where Jesus, as we pray in his name, where Jesus adds his prayer to those prayers. And you know how he starts it? Father, these are the prayers of Peter Petruska. I will confess his name before my Father and before his holy angels. Next time you just throw up a quick prayer, don't throw it up mindlessly. Don't throw it up mindlessly. Don't just toss them up there. I mean, that's okay. There's a time for quick prayers. Like when there's a car spinning in front of you on the turnpike. You know what I'm saying? There are time for quick prayers. Those are some of the best prayers. Some of the worst prayers are those long, holy prayers that we pray. We think we're impressing God and we're going to get him to kind of see our way of thinking. We're going to maybe get him to come in line with our agenda. Those are some of the worst prayers. I know the worst prayers I ever prayed. I don't know about you. Some of the best prayers I ever prayed were quick. They were short. They were sharp. And they were to the point, and I didn't care what anybody thought, because I needed help. I needed God. Next time you throw that prayer up there, remember this. Our Lord Jesus is taking that prayer, and he is adding his own intercession to that prayer, an intercession which goes way beyond what you could ask, what you could think, and he is also to those who love him, to those who are washed in his blood. You go through the book of Revelation, it'll tell you who these overcomers are. They're not just the super Christians. We have super Christians. Well, I got news for you. You ask, you go talk to a super Christian. And if they really are a super Christian, you know what they'll say? I am only a sinner saved by grace. Brother Hans Waldfogel, one of the founders of this camp, when he died, what he told them to sing at his funeral? Some people didn't like it. They said, but Uncle Hans, he's like the Pope. He's like the Pentecostal Pope. And he said, you know what he said to sing? Sing, only a sinner, saved by grace. I was 8 years old. My mom and dad took me to his funeral. I was there when they sang that song. Only a sinner, saved by grace. The overcomers are those whose robes are washed white in the blood of the Lamb. You're not going to be an overcomer on your own. You're not going to be an overcomer by being better at this than anybody else. You're going to be an overcomer by being clothed in white, by winning in His victory, by, as we sing here in this camp, letting in the overcomer and letting Him conquer you, letting Him conquer through you. And as you do that, as you allow Him to conquer through, as you allow Him to wash you in His blood, as those prayers ascend, He adds His own intercession and He confesses your name before His Father and all of the angels that are in heaven. You think He was trying to wake this dead church up? I tell you, you think about this, you get this in your gizzard, this will wake your prayers up. This will wake my prayers up. Because now I get a little insight to what happens when I sometimes just haphazardly throw a little prayer heavenward. Just because maybe I'm at pilgrim camp and that's what I'm expected to do. No, what a privilege to have Jesus confess your name before the hosts of heaven and especially before His Father. Guess what? He knows your name. He knows your name. I don't know all your names, not yet, but He does. He knows every name. He knows every prayer on your heart. He knows every cry of your heart. He knows every victory. He knows every failure. You might as well be honest with Him because He knows it all anyway. And He's not impressed by our attempts to impress Him. What He's impressed by? Says, to this one will I look. He was humble and of a contrite spirit and who calls upon my name because I know their name. He knows your name. Tonight, as we pray, I don't know if there are any specific needs. If we do, we'd love to hear them. We'd love to pray with you. I know time has gone on a little bit, but we have a little bit of time yet. Don't worry, I'm not going to hold you late this evening. I've told my folks in church, I would rather 15 minutes of solid prayer than an hour of snoring. An hour of snoring. 15 minutes of really laying hold and calling on God. If you have a need tonight, share it. Share it with us. Understand that He knows it, and He knows your name, and He wants to answer, and He will answer that prayer. As we close and go to our knees in prayer, we're going to sing that song. I'm going to introduce it to you just a little bit. Julia was so kind to practice it with me before. Not that I'm going to sing a solo, we're all going to sing together. But it's He Knows My Name. It's a beautiful worship song. We love it so much in our church. And we're going to even sing it more often. Everybody has it? Did everybody get one? It's the second one. Julia, start it for us. And if you know it, sing it. If not, just listen. And you will come to know it very, very quickly. Let's sing it together in closing. Then we'll pray. Never leave. Spend a little time praying, shall we? Pray for the needs of the camp. If there's any needs, if you have a need in your family or yourself, please, you can either ask us to pray or you can lead out in prayer. Let's, if you're able, go down to our knees.